Today on Real Life Radio.
Did you know when you're following God and you're pursuing Him, if you fail at what you're doing, you know what He does? He picks you up and He says, man, you did that with all of your heart and you sincerely thought you were following me. But that's not what I said. I said this. And now you know how to hear His voice in the noise. And now you know to never do that again.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called Why, continues his series called The Why Series. The why question always commands an answer, doesn't it? Sometimes God has already given us the answer, or it can take years for the answer, but we got to continue to ask. You see, when life's challenges overwhelm us, we want God to tell us why. We don't like dealing with the pressures of life, but what we need to understand is that our hardships are God's way of refining us to walk in faith when we don't have all the answers. That's the bottom line of what the Christian life is all about. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack points out that we really don't take risks in our faith anymore. We're too afraid to make a move when the Lord is telling us not to fear, to be strong and courageous, and to not doubt because He is with us wherever we go. And now in his message called Why, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Jesus died for the sins of the world because the world is lost in its sin and it's on its way to hell. It's going down. Can you imagine the plane is going down and people are serving dinner, watching a movie, and the plane's like that. And somebody jumps up and says, we're going to hit unless we do something. Repent and turn this plane around, right? But we don't want to do that because we could make someone feel uncomfortable. Trust God. If you have to know it, you have to work it out. You have to have a plan like that. It's never going to get done. Number four, why doubt? Why doubt? In Luke 24:38, the Bible says, and Jesus said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? There's three things there, class. I wonder if you can see how they're correlating together. See the word hearts? Your heart. Just think of your heart, singular. Have you ever been troubled? Seismos? Have you ever had an earthquake in your emotions, in your heart? You know why? Because of doubt. Why are you troubled? Why is your heart about ready to fail you? Because doubts have arisen in your heart. Listen, doubts are always to be taken care of. You don't be in denial about doubts. You need to get doubts taken care of. Doubts are fine. You understand that? Oh, but I doubt so much. That can be overcome. Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So you take in more Bible. Are you prone to doubt? Yes, take in more Bible. Right? When you run and when you live your day without water, you don't feel good. You get sluggish, your blood starts to thicken up, you start to get a headache around the temples, the back of the neck begins to tighten, your mouth is dry, your heart rate will go up. Why? What's going on? You need water. And when that happens to us in the spiritual life, we need to ingest the word, and the word generates faith, and the doubts go down when faith goes up. And if we don't do that, then we're going to be a troubled people. Our hearts are going to be very, very emotionally ravaged, frankly. And why doubt? Doubt's never gotten you in a good place ever, has it? We could take that word doubt out and put in the word worry. Why worry? Well, somebody's got to do something. A Okay, you're a control freak. You need to go over to that other point about having to know everything. Why? That's point number one. Number five, why fear? In 1 John 4:18, the Bible tells us there's no fear in love. But perfect or complete love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. Boy, does it not? But he who fears has not been made perfect or complete in love. So what does that mean? The person that fears as a believer, I'm just talking, by the way, 1 John's written to Christians only. If you're not a Christian, you should worry big time. You should be in total gut-wrenching fear right now tonight. If you're not a Christian, you are one heartbeat away from hell right now. Oh, I just had my heart checked. It's fine. It's strong. Don't slip on any bananas. Watch out. You know what I'm saying? You are walking on a bridge of thread over a raging fire, and you don't even know it. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, said, if I could take all of my soldiers and show them hell, they would never backslide. Imagine. Listen, 1 John's written to the Christian. We are not to fear, because fear always generates torment. We are to be in awe of God. You see, but doesn't the Bible say fear God? Yeah, it does say fear God in English. The word, maybe some translations, I haven't seen it yet, but maybe some translations would put it right. It's be in awe. It's reverential awe of God. Right? Like you go to Grand Canyon, you stand on the edge. Oh. It's like, what? That's how you approach God. This is amazing. This is too big. Fear. Satan loves fear. He loves to rip people off with fear. And the Bible says, why fear? You don't need to fear. Perfect love, meaning God's love realized for you, removes fear. Paul knew this. You know this. When they said, okay, we're gonna kill you, Paul. I'm sure this is how it came about. We're gonna kill you. Okay. You can kill me. That'd be good. I'll go straight to heaven. So go for it. Well, wait a minute. Then we're gonna let you live. Okay, that's fantastic too, because I'll just keep living for Jesus. So wait a minute. Can you imagine these guys? They don't know if they're going to give him $20 to catch a cab or an axe to cut his head off. They don't know what to do with this guy. Because Paul the Apostle said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'm sure it came out of a situation where Rome said, you know what, we're going to kill you. You taking your little mouth all around the empire talking about Jesus? We're going to take you out. And I'm certain he just said, which way? How do you want to? I'm good with it. Well, then if you're good with it, because we're trying to destroy you, if you're good with it, we're going to let you live. All right, that's good too. You can't stop someone like that. You understand that? That's the Christian life. The only reason why you and I are not like that, if we are not like that, is because of fear. That's why the Bible says, don't fear what man can do to you. Now, let's be honest. We can only die so long. So what if they're going to torture me? What if all these stark raving crazies are going to chop our heads off? That would be pretty quick. Right? Think about it. You can only die so long, and then there's eternal life. We don't need to fear. Don't fear. Number six, why me or you? Why me is a tendency. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. The love of God draws. In the midst of a world that has invented all kinds of things to rattle our minds or what many will think, comfort them, God says, above everything in this world, I love you. My love is real. My love can be experienced. Today, I don't know where you were today, but if you had a chance to be outside at all, if you were driving, maybe some of you working, I don't know, just even if you went from one office building to the other today, today was perfect. It was just perfect. What did you think about that? When the breeze coming off the ocean, you're feeling it on your skin. What was amazing, if you wanted to be warm, if you're in the sun was intense. If you wanted to cool off in an instant, you just step 1 foot over into the shade. It seemed like nature was responding to today. Just the sound of it. When you think about, when you say or ask, why me? You're forgetting that God loves you absolutely. We have to wake up to this because it doesn't come natural for us. You might be here today and you're not a Christian. God loves you. He hates what you're doing. Isn't that amazing? You don't. You enjoy it. God hates it because he sees the outcome of it. Think about it. If the God of the Bible wasn't loving, then he wouldn't be upset with you for doing wrong. He'd say, go kill yourself. What do I care? But because he loves you, he doesn't want you to hurt yourself. He loves you. And then finally, why wait? I don't know, maybe I'm blinded to this, but it seems to me it should be harder to be an unbeliever nowadays. I mean, let's end with this. Why would you not believe in God? I would like you to get your Bible out or borrow somebody's Bible and show someone or me where in, why here in the, it's over here, it's this chapter in this verse, this is why I can't be a believer. Oh, that's why. So it's not, listen, it's not because you don't believe in God. Have you noticed that? I'm convinced I've never met an atheist. I'm convinced of it. I have learned that people who claim that they're atheist, they have the luxury to claim they're atheist. Does it make sense? Because when life gets rough for the atheist, almost all of them cry out for God. And those who don't, I was so sad the day that Christopher Hitchens died. He was my favorite atheist. I liked him a lot. Was he foul? Foul. Bad mouth? Bad mouth. But you ever listen to his arguments? He's a genius, brilliant man, you know. I can't recommend you listening to him because he cusses a lot in his debates. But you know what his problem was? He claimed to be the most famous atheist in the world. You know what his problem was? He was an atheist. Because every time he gave a presentation all over the world when he was giving it, he attacked the God of the Bible for the way God does things. He was furious at God, and he would say so. And you listen to him, and you listen, and you realize he does believe. It's twisted. It's wrong. But how can you be upset with someone who doesn't exist? You don't yell at the fire hydrant for getting in your way, right? There are no atheists, I'm convinced of it. It doesn't happen. Everyone's pagan or Christian. Well, Pastor, I find that highly offensive. It's because I got you. That's why I got you. I did, I made you think, didn't I? Made you think. Because if you claim to be an atheist, it's because you have the luxury to complain about the God of the universe, and by you saying so, you're actually grumbling about the one you don't believe in. You can't do that. It's illogical. In fact, I think the Puritans used to use the word insane. The word insane meant a man who thinks without God. If you think without God, you're insane. Isn't that great? I love that. I don't believe in God. You're nuts. Right? So why wait? Because, you know, if you're not a believer tonight, or you wouldn't want to be a believer, many times I've heard people say, well, where was God when I was 9 years old? We grieve with you in that, by the way. But why don't you direct your anger at the right one? Jesus told you in this book, Satan has come to rob, kill, and destroy. I have come to give you life. Well, you know what? I married this man or this woman and she was a Christian and then she ran out on God. Yeah, that's a heartbreak and that happens all the time. God doesn't make robots. He's not going to make you believe and he's not going to make somebody keep believing. And the whole question comes down to, was that individual really in the family of God or not? Here's the deal. Tonight, in every one of our lives tonight, I don't care how young you are, it's how it's expressed, newborn baby to a man or a woman who's 99 years old, we have to experience love. Two ways. Because we've been created in the image of God, we have to receive love. We have to have it. We'll die without it. And we have to give it. It's what you were designed to do. Because you've been created in the image of God. And tonight your life has been not all that healthy as a non-believer because you've not allowed the love of God to love you like you're supposed to be loved. You're not going to find love in sex. You understand that? Sex is one of the ingredients that God gave regarding love. But sex is not love. Power is not love. Wealth is not love. Does that make sense? Yes. Why are some people poor as dirt and happy? I was going to say happy as a clam. I don't know what that means, but you know what I'm saying. What is that? Why, listen, 45 minutes at this time of the day. We could be in Brentwood or Bel Air right in 45 minutes right here, straight down the 60. Some of the richest people in the world who are stoning themselves out of their minds right now, sleeping around, trying to figure out what the meaning of the life is. And they're idols in our world, and nobody, if they knew, would want to live like them. It's all a show. But every one of us want love. They need the love of God, and they need to give. So we're going to pray tonight. No games. We've come to the end of this series. You've had like a year to figure this out. And tonight's the test. I'll leave you with this illustration. I've said it a zillion times. I love it. You think of God being merciful for 120 years while Noah was proclaiming truth and building an ark in his front yard. Can you imagine? And then God says, get in the boat. And the family gets in the boat. And the Bible says, God shut the door. I'd like to have seen that. Can you imagine all the neighbors? Hey, Noah, what are you doing? And the door by itself just goes. And didn't it rain like a week later? Yeah. Wasn't a long time. It was like the door didn't shut and the ark pulled away. Can you imagine the people outside? Hey, Noah, where's the water? Remember that? It had not, the Bible said it had not rained on the earth yet. And then can you imagine a cloud comes? What is that? And it starts dropping on the rain. At some point in time, I bet you Noah could hear them clawing on the ark. Just kidding. Open the door, open the door, open the door. So Lisa and I were on a cruise ship in Alaska, and a honeymoon couple, we found out later they're a honeymoon couple. They tell you, you know, the boat leaves at 4, but be on the boat at 3. Don't be late. If you're late, here's the information for you to figure out how to get to the next stop for this ship. Don't be late. And so before, an hour before, the ship's going. It's letting you know. Man, you can just be trying on something there and it's like, come on, let's go. Why? Because the ship's leaving. And everybody gets on board and the attendants are taking the gangway off the dock and you see this Uber car pull up and this young couple with shopping bags and stuff and they're going. And the ship just starts going like this. And they're standing like this. I'm serious. We watched the whole thing happen. We did. We're just like this. I'm sorry, but we did. We're just like this the whole time. There's nothing you can do. Hey, look, that's merciful because there's no second stop. When that ship leaves, when Jesus comes, it's over. Or when your heart stops, it's over. There's no second chance. Jesus is coming back. If you're not ready, that's on you. But when your life stops, it's over. And you don't go to sleep, my friend. You go to your eternal destination. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ, the eternal, living, holy, righteous Son of God who died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead. That in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would move across this sanctuary and Lord, you'd move upon those that are watching right now. But I pray, Father God, in this last late days in which we live in, that those who have been toying with Jesus would stop. And today, tonight, decisions will be made. I'm going to walk with Jesus. If God is speaking to you, I am not going to plead with you. I am not going to harangue you to get up and move. And if you're wearing a green shirt, come forward. No, you know what? If God's speaking to you, you're going to feel very uncomfortable. You're going to feel kind of panicky. You're going to kind of feel like you're getting crushed. You feel like there's a finger pointing at you, like you're the only one in the room. And I mentioned this 48 minutes ago, and it bothered you then, and it bothers you more now. You want to know why? That's God speaking. And the only way to get that satisfied is to receive him now, before it's too late.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Why, Why? Thanks for being with us today. You know, Why, Why is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series. It's a series that brings to light the foundation of human creation and why we exist in this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, how would you like to kick off the new year with an unforgettable journey? Well, January is right around the corner, and here's what we think is a really good idea. The 1-Year Bible. It's available for you today. Now, this unique design is really user-friendly because of the arrangement of Scripture, brings a fresh approach to each day's reading. In just 15 minutes a day, you'll be reading a portion of the Old Testament, the New Testament, a Psalm, and a Proverb, and it's all designed to bring you through the Bible in 1 year. The 1-Year Bible also includes 2- and 3-year reading plans. The 1-Year Bible, it's ideal for your personal devotions, or you can bring the whole family in if you'd like. The New King James Version of the 1-Year Bible is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.